Amen. Good morning, church. You guys feeling good this morning? You know, the calendar says summer doesn't start till June 21st, but it is here. It is beautiful outside this morning. This week's been beautiful, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited about summer and just this time of year that we get to enjoy life to the full. Although, I do enjoy living here in New Jersey where we get to experience every season to the full. And I think each season we go through helps us appreciate the next one even more. And so I know we're all ready and excited for summer. Amen? You know, I'm excited for this morning. It's not just going to be me preaching the word and speaking. It's actually going to be me, Matt Ruper, and Mark Persing coming up for a few minutes each. This past week, Matt, Mark, and I, along with Shauna and the rest of our New York City campus staff, which is Daniil, Leslie, and Charles, we had the honor of going down to Georgia to go be part of the North River Church's campus training program. And so the North River Church, which, you know, they're a little bit outside Atlanta. They're right near Atlanta there. God is doing amazing things down there. And it's really been an inspiring campus ministry to the rest of the campus ministries in our fellowship of churches in the country. And it's been amazing to see what God's done there. They have, their church is one group like ours here, and it's around 1,000 members, and they meet together on Sundays, and their campus ministry is about 220 disciples. And they've really focused on building their campus ministries at a few different of their main schools there. Just to give you an idea, they have Kennesaw State University, which would compare to our Montclair State, about 20,000 students. And at that one school, they have over 100 disciples at that one school there. They've got Georgia Tech with around 60 or 70 disciples and Georgia State with 60 or 70 disciples as well. And so they've gotten to build just an amazing campus ministry over the last decade there or so through the work of Tom Brown and a bunch of other different campus ministers that have worked there. You know, what was really cool is our New York City campus ministers got to hang out a lot with the North River campus ministers. And so there's a picture of us all together. And you can see Nick Schaff in there, our very own Steve and Sue's son, Nick. Where is he at? He's right there in the front in the blue shirt, and his wife, Bree, over by Chelsea over there. So they're campus ministers down there. And, you know, we got to get a lot of great fellowship, friendship building, learning from one another time with the campus ministers down there in North River, which was really exciting. And so this morning, I'm going to be sharing with you for a few minutes, as well as Matt and Mark, just a couple main takeaway points from our time down there. You know, we were there for about 5 days or so, and it's a training program for campus ministry to inspire campus disciples to grow and to do great things for God. And so I'm going to share with you a little bit of something that stood out for me while I was there. I do want to tell you one quick story before I jump into it, though. And, you know, we didn't just go, our campus staff, we had some of our students go down as well, which was really exciting. And one of the guys that went down is our brother here, Josh Silva. And so you guys know Vinny that came up here and helped lead us in communion this morning. So Vinny became a disciple a few years ago at William Patterson. And he was really active in his church's youth group. And so when he became a disciple, it was big on his heart to reach out to some of the other guys that he grew up going to church with and that were in his youth group. And so, you know, Vinny became our brother, and then soon afterwards, Josh DeMatulak from their youth group became a Christian, and then Josh Silva from their youth group became a Christian, and then last year, Hamil, that goes to Stevens, also part of their youth group, became a disciple. And so it's been awesome to see God build this horde of West Jersey brothers through Vinny and the rest of these guys' inspiration. And so Josh Silva gets down to North River, and his mind is blown as he looks out into the crowd of disciples and sees another one of the guys that grew up part of their youth group and left New Jersey to go down to Georgia for college. Derek Matthews had become our brother in Christ down there in North River. Another guy that grew up here in Jersey going to church with these guys that God has influenced. And so that was just a really cool story. And it was so cool to see Josh's face light up. And then in the group me, we got Vinny and the guys bugging out about Derek being their brother down here. And so that was really inspiring. You know, I think for me, being down in North River was a really great time of just refreshing my zeal, my appreciation, and just my gratitude at what I get to be part of. You know, I was down there Seeing the way that God is working in the North River campus ministry. But there's 40 different disciples in the church there that opened up their homes to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 even college students to come and stay those 5 or 6 days with them. Strangers just coming and staying in their house. You know, some of them weren't even home that weekend, but left their coat outside so the people could get in and stay in their house while they were there. Some of the students were talking about waking up each morning and the family that hosted them cooking a full breakfast each morning for them. And I just feel like when I go to this, I'm like, man, what an amazing kingdom that we get to be part of. You know, people being like Jesus, you know, and not just the church, but the mission we have and just getting to be a Christian. The fact that there's over 7 billion people in this world and the road is narrow that leads to life and only a few find it. And then I get to be one of those few people. And just reminding myself, refreshing myself of how special, how awesome what I have and what I get to be part of is. How many of you by the end of church are feeling pretty hungry? You know, I mean, I'm like starving by the end of church. So this might make you struggle a little bit. But does this look good to any of you? You know, for me, this looks awesome. I could throw this down. I could eat all that probably by the time church is over. I love sushi. How many of you like sushi in here, right? You know, I don't know how you feel about is there a light, a laser on? I don't know how you feel about this stuff right here. I think there's a little love-hate thing going on. But I don't know, how many of you know what the ginger is for right there? You know, it tastes good for some of us, but the real purpose of that little pile of ginger there is to be a palate cleanser. And the idea of that is you're eating a bite of sushi and then it tastes amazing, and all the different textures and flavors are going on. You're like, wow, this is awesome. And then before you go on and take another bite of sushi, you take a little bit of the ginger to cleanse your palate so that the next bite of sushi hits you all over again. All right, because if you just go in 2, 3, 4 bites in a row, they all taste good, but each one kind of loses a little of its sensation, a little bit of its flavor. And so it could all be pretty good, but nothing's like that first bite. And so the ginger's there to help cleanse your palate so that each bite could be just as sensational as the one before it, right? A palate cleanser. And I think for me in North River, but I think for all of us, we need spiritual palate cleansers, right? Romans chapter 12 says, keep your spiritual fervor. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Other versions say, never be lacking in zeal, right? Keep your zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor. That excitement that you have, the enthusiasm, the passion, the fervor, the zeal that you had with that first bite, that first week, that first day of being a Christian, never lose that. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. You know, we need spiritual palate cleansers to refresh us, to refresh our excitement, our enthusiasm, our zeal, our fervor in serving God, our appreciation. Are all at the specialness of what we have and what we get to be part of. If we don't do that, if we don't cleanse our palate, what happens? Over time, we could start to lose our excitement, our enthusiasm. It could start to maybe grow a little dull to the taste, or you've just been to church Sunday after Sunday for year after year, and if you forget how special what we're part of is, you could start to lose your appreciation and your enthusiasm. And that could happen in different areas of being a Christian. We could start to get calloused, just kind of stuck in a routine or even ungrateful. And what could even start to happen is, if we don't keep our palate clean, is we can then start to notice more of the problems instead of appreciating the greatness of what we get to be part of and what we have. And so if we don't cleanse our palate, then we start to notice issues more than we're noticing the inspiration and the exciting things that we have. So I think this morning, and I think every day, each week, we need palate cleansers for our spiritual walk. Maybe it's in the area of forgiveness and knowing that you've been forgiven of your sins. Right? When you were first baptized, remember the excitement? Oh my gosh, I'm in the light. My sins were like scarlet. Now they're washed white as snow. Man, God forgave me. Thank you for forgiving me. You know, over time, we want to refresh that palate of forgiveness, that we get to be in a right relationship with God, that we're right with God. Communion each week could be a palate cleanser if we take it the right way. Your quiet time, not just reading and praying, but really having that mindset of, man, I get to spend time with God who's saved me. I get to have a relationship with God and hear His words to me today, to pray to Him today. and really, really refreshing your appreciation for your forgiveness and your relationship with God. Maybe it's needing a refresher in your connection with the church and in the way you view the church and your role in the church. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says to the church, "You are our hope, our joy, and our crown." You know, and over time, I think maybe you could start to lose appreciation for the kingdom and for the church and the amazing relationships we get to have and this amazing kingdom of God, that his people that we get to be part of. And so we might need to have some mindfulness of coming to church with a refresher of how special and exciting what we get to be part of is, and refreshing our mindset with that. What can help with that is connecting with new people, traveling in the church, going to things like the World Discipleship Summit, and just being refreshed in awe of what God has grafted us into. Maybe it's refreshing your heart towards the mission. You know, the Bible says that we should not grow weary in doing what is good. And think about Jesus. He never lost his compassion. That when he looked at a crowd, it wasn't compassion the first time, but then by the 10th time, he became a little numb to it and didn't have compassion anymore. And I think we need to remember when we first were confronted with the reality of the darkness and the light and the lost world that we live in, we've got to keep that freshness of perspective that the world is very lost and that people are very much so in need of God, and that there is a wide road that leads to destruction that the majority of people are on. And over time, we got to keep our palate cleansed of the fact that God has put us on this mission that is really an amazing mission to pull people from the power of Satan to the power of God, and not growing weary in doing what is good or just losing appreciation for the importance of the mission that God has sent us on. You know, maybe there's different areas. Maybe it's your marriage, you know, and just not having that same enthusiasm of this amazing man or this amazing woman that God let you marry. You know, but going on that hot date or getting out and doing something special to refresh the palate, right? To get out and get some special time together. Maybe it's with your children, right? And you got to get out and get some good one-on-one time with your kids and remember that first time they came out of the womb, how special it was to hold them, and cleanse your palate with your kids or with your friendships. You know, I don't know what it is for you, but I want you to think this morning about what is an area in your discipleship that needs a little refreshment, that maybe you've starting to become routine, stuck in a rut, mundane, complacent, ungrateful, and that you've got to instead keep your spiritual fervor, never be lacking in zeal. And what could you do to help to light that fire again, to get excited about the mission, to get excited about the church, about your marriage, about just being forgiven and being able to be in the light? You know, we need these refreshers in our walk with God. You know, maybe for you, it's a refresher of how special contribution is. You know, and that year after year, we give to this, and yet year after year, it's incredibly vital, special, important that we get to give to support foreign missions in Caribbean, in Africa, as well as locally here in the amazing work that needs to be done around New York City and New Jersey. You know, locally, we've got a lot of work to do, and I hope that you could be refreshed in your heart towards giving to special missions contribution. And if there's been any thought of just kind of like not even thinking about it and just, oh, we give this every year, to take the time to really think about, wait, what am I giving to? And to think about how important it is, how special it is, how much it's appreciated. You know, I'm excited about Special Missions Contribution because it helps support our Ministry Training Academy and our local ministry training program where Chelsea and I and our campus staff are focused on raising up future campus ministers, evangelists, women's ministry leaders, and other leaders for the future of the church, which is incredibly important because there's a lot of work to be done around New York City and our North Jersey area. And so this summer we have our annual training program going on, which We've got an element of it going on all year round, and yet over the summer we get to open the doors a little and really focus on training up college students that aspire to go in leadership and to go in the ministry. And this is really important for us because right now, for every region of our New York City church to have a man and a woman leading their campus ministry, we still need 15 people to go into those roles. So outside of New Jersey, only 3 regions have somebody as a campus minister: Charles in the Bronx, Leslie in Harlem, and Danielle in Queens. And they need co-leaders, and all the other 6 regions need a guy and girl to go lead full-time there. So this is important for us to be supporting, praying for, and focusing on. You know, the campus ministry is important to build because it feeds the rest of the church. It feeds the church with teen workers, teen leaders, with future married couples, people in the YoPros, the singles, and Edge ministry. You know, how many of you became a Christian through campus ministry? Right? That's almost half of the room probably about. And so campus ministry is super important for us to invest in and focus on. And so I thank you so much for your special missions contribution going to help support our ministry training program, our summer internship, and the work that we're trying to do there. This summer, we're going to get to have 35 students from our New York City church, 35 people participate in our summer campus training program. Of those 35, 19 of them are part of our New Jersey campus ministry right here. You know, I just want to say the names of the people. Some of them are back home for a couple weeks and coming back, but I just want to say the names of the people that are going to be in our summer training program here this summer. And you can, when you hear your name, stand up and stay standing. Kyrie, Derek, Josh Dimitulak and Josh Silva, Tatiana, Corrali, Ajanae, Abby Jones, Lindsay, Sky, Iman, Jessica, Brielle, Ziamara, and a sister named Hannah coming from Nittany Valley to be with us for the summer. All of them are volunteering to be part of our summer training program. And I'm also excited to say, along with that, we have five people graduated or about to graduate that we're actually going to be able to support paid as part-time interns starting this summer. Four of those five people will be with us in New Jersey for the summer. That's Vinny DeLuca, who came up and did communion, as well as Elna, Marie, and Hannah Baker. So give it up for them. Guys, please be praying for them. Pray for our summer program. Pray for our campus ministry. We're really wanting to live with great faith and serving God in a great way to do amazing things for the future of the church. And I think for me and for all of us, it's so important that we keep our palate cleansed, right? That we take the time, whether it's with forgiveness, appreciating the church, for the mission that we have, for another relationship in our life, to take the time to not grow dull in those, but to refresh our palate, to appreciate how special, awesome, exciting what we get to be part of is. Amen? Amen. Mark and Matt are going to come up. Matt first for a few minutes here.
All right. Good morning, church. You guys doing okay?
Yeah.
Rob did awesome. I just want to say what Rob said is so true. North River, in a lot of ways, is an example of faith for the entire church. You know, Mark and I talk about North River as being this legendary place. It's a mystical place where they just baptize people all day long. How do they do it? We got down there, and it was really special because what they're doing is very much what we're doing. And they're just progressed beyond us. You know, a lot of the things that Steve and Sue are bringing into New Jersey here are things that they've been doing, focusing on Jesus, going back to the basics. And it's so cool to think what they're doing is only a couple years from where we are. And so that's what I got from North River. Thank you.
I'm just kidding.
I'll share something else. The North River staff is a really inspiring group. And a brother, Jeff Hickman, preached a lesson to the campus ministers about burnout and about maintaining our zeal. And I want to share a quick thought from that, if that's cool with you. Give me a little amen or a oomph if you can relate to this. You go to a D group, you listen to a midweek, there's a sermon preached on Sunday, and regardless of what it says, what you interpret that as is, I have to do more. Amen. You come to midweek the next week, the next D group, and you hear the lesson. It's inspiring. You feel convicted, and I have to do more. Next week, you get together for midweek, and you're inspired, and you hear the lesson, I gotta do more. It's true. And the truth is, in Jesus' church, there's always more that we need to do. There's always going to be more. But if we live in a state of, I have to do more, 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 it's exhausting. It really is. And when you do that, I have to do more, I have to do more, you get overwhelmed. You get tired. You get stressed. I don't know about you, but for me, scriptures like Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am the Lord. Joshua 1:8, day and night I meditate on your word. Those scriptures, I thought, were for monks in Nepal. That is not for me. I'm not going to retire and take a sabbatical for a couple months to meditate on God's word like that. But it's refreshing to know that as disciples, that's our calling, is to slow down. Yes, we have to do more, but there's also the moment where I got to slow down and know who my God is. Meditate on his word day and night. Does it blow your mind to think that Jesus spent 1/7 of his life in Sabbath? He spent 1/7 of his life in the synagogue, spending time praying, reading his Bible, not going to work. And he still had the great impact that he had because he was able to rest and focus on what it's all about. And the truth is, any other way over time, Going without slowing down to draw near to God will lead to burnout, will lead to bitterness, and honestly, even worse, will lead to accepting mediocrity in our lives, will accept to calloused hearts. Turn with me to John chapter 15. John 15, verse 4 through 5. Maybe don't turn there. Just listen to what I'm going to say, and I need your help filling in the blanks. Here you go. We know this scripture really well. John 15, verse 4 through 5 says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Amen. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
Okay. We know that scripture really well. I don't believe that scripture. I'm just going to be honest. It's really easy for me to not believe that scripture. Apart from God, I can do nothing. Really? Can I read you the Matt Rupert version of the Bible? Here's the Matt Rupert version. It says, Remain in the vine, and you will bear more fruit. Apart from me, you can do something. But in me, you can do so much more. Our relationship with God is critical for the fruit that's going to be produced. And praise God, it's not works leads to intimacy with God. But I think the truth is that intimacy with God leads to great works for God and for his kingdom. And that flipping perspective is so essential, but it's remaining in God. And the truth is, without intimacy, we are incapable of impact, great impact. Certainly, or even just impact in general, is impossible without remaining in the vine. And so hopefully as you hear that, that strikes you a different way. Hopefully you think about what am I gonna do to connect with my God, because I've been thinking about that. And I'll share in a second what I'm going to do. But for me, one of the big things is that I want to have Jesus situations for every situation in my life. I've gone far too long in my discipleship where I'm relying on my own talent, my own synapses firing in my brain to figure out what am I going to do with the situation? What am I going to do to help a brother who's stuck? What am I going to do to help move someone along? But I really want to know going forward, what would Jesus do? Thinking about Jesus' examples and the different scenarios in his life, how would he have that conversation? How would he have that? And so this summer, and hopefully you can interpret this your own way, but this summer, I'm really excited. I've been given the luxury of really serving in the church here. And so every morning this summer, I'm going to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, hold me accountable, and I'm going to have my quiet time for 2 hours. I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to pray, and this is the summer of Jesus for me. I'm going to know Jesus. Like Paul says, I want to know Jesus, because that's what's going to help us be fruitful. That's what's going to help the ministry grow. It's not me, it's Jesus, and I'm going to rely on him. Together as a church, let's rely on Jesus. Let's remain close in the vine. Let's not do work, do work, do work, do work, and forget to connect with our King. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. How you guys doing? I kind of got the tough slot. I see a couple of you guys falling asleep. Amen. I'm just kidding. I'm not looking back. But it's an honor to be preaching with Rob and Matt. I just love you guys so much. You guys, it's an honor to be preaching the gospel along with you guys and be partners in the gospel. Matt and Rob inspire me constantly. They're why I'm here right now. So really grateful and excited to share with you guys. You can turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to pick up in verse 8. And, you know, as Rob said, the theme for this campus training program we were at was the end game. There's some kind of popular movie that came out. I don't know if you guys heard of that. But so we were talking about the whole theme of this time was how we're in the end game, that Jesus is coming back. And we spent time letting the scriptures bring us back to the reality that Jesus is coming back. And that reality, that fact, that promise of our King coming back is what should drive us as Christians. Amen? Is what should drive us as followers of Jesus. You know, Jesus could come back today. He could come back tomorrow. You know, we're 2,000 years closer to Jesus coming back than they were in the first century. And we got to think that way. We got to speed it's coming. But I want to read this scripture here, 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to pick up in verse 8. It says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells." Amen? What stuck out to me from our whole 5 days there that kept ringing in my heart and my head was Jesus is coming back. I don't think about that enough. I don't know about you, but he's coming back. This scripture convicts me and inspires me. And I love what he says here. He says, church, do not forget that for God, 1,000 years are like a day. Isn't that incredible? That for God, the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, it was all just a couple days ago in his time frame. It's recent. It's fresh on his heart. It's all that matters to him. So we must live that way. You know, you look at verse 9. According to verse 9, does God want anyone to perish, church? No. It says that God is patient, but that he wants every human being to come to repentance. But can people come to repentance if we aren't doing our job as Christ's ambassadors? No. God says, you're plan A. I'm using sinners like you to reconcile the world. You know, I need this passage. I need to remember that every single person I walk by, no matter what they look like, that they need Jesus. That God wants them to come to repentance. God does not enjoy seeing anyone perish. It breaks his heart. You know, church, we got to live in the reality that we're in the end game. Jesus has ascended, and we're in this phase right now where there's this overlap with heaven, the kingdom of heaven, and earth. But one day, God's going to come back. It's all going to be his again. And that's the hope that we have. That's what we're looking forward to. We got to remember that God wants everyone to have this biblical repentance, this metanoia that leads to times of refreshing. Amen? But I just want to ask you this morning, do you see people that way? As you're walking on the street, they say, man, God wants them to come to repentance. That person right there, they're in need of Jesus. You know, as I pass by people sometimes and struggle to share the gospel with them, what I have to remember is that in heaven, God is saying, as I'm about to pass by this person, he's saying, no, Mark, that's my boy right there. That's my girl right there. I want to save him. I want to save her. Speak up. Love him. Love her. I knit that person together in their mother's womb. Speak on my behalf, Mark. I want them to have what you have. We got to remember that. It's not just check it off the list. It's if you don't, they're not going to have a chance to know Jesus, or their chance is going to be less. You know, I love verse 11. It says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? And it says, we got to live holy lives, godly lives. Since Jesus is coming back and all the earthly things will pass, we got to ask ourselves, man, what kind of person should I be? You know, we need to be living lives that are set apart from the world. And when we read the book of Acts, we just see a group of people that look crazy. Because they believe it. They believe that Jesus is coming back, and so their lives were set apart, and they looked different. And so they didn't invest in the things of this world because they knew, no, all that matters is Jesus coming back. Paul even had to write to some people and tell some people, hey, you need to keep working at your job. You need to keep making money. I know Jesus is coming back, but that doesn't mean you can just only go preach. You need to actually still have a livelihood. That's how much they were caught up in this. You know, and church, some of us need to repent. We get way too caught up in earthly material things. Money, our houses, cars, your job, the type of school you go to, our material possessions, technology, your clothes, your look. I'm just here to remind you this morning, it's all going away. It's all going away. You can't bring it with you. What kingdom does God see you investing in more? The kingdom of this world or the kingdom of heaven? Because from his point of view, when you invest in this world, it just looks stupid. It looks so dumb. Because he's like, yeah, your little thing right here, how about me? All of eternity. He's like, your little part right there, but how about care about forever and ever, amen? You know, if you found out for whatever reason that Jesus was coming back next week, which we're not going to find out because it's like a thief in the night. But honestly, if you found that out, how would that change the way you live your life? What conversations would you have? How would that change your relationships, your schedule, your time? Really think about that. You know, guys, all that matters is that people know Jesus, that they fall in love with Jesus, and that we get others ready to meet him. Because like Philippians says, every knee will bow. And in verse 13, it says, in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Amen. As Christians, we always have something to look forward to. Praise God. You know, in my life, that's just something I always want. I always want something to look forward to in the week. But here's the thing. We always do. We have heaven. We have that hope as an anchor. Amen. An anchor for our souls is the promise of this new heaven and new earth. And as disciples of Jesus, that we've been washed, we've received the Spirit, we should always rejoice that this day is coming, that Jesus is coming back to take us home. And we got to encourage one another with that. You know, when you're going through the week, just, hey, bro, hey, sis, it's going to be okay. Jesus is coming back. All this is going to go away. It just changes your perspective. I want to just close out reading this scripture here. You don't have to turn there, but it's 1 Thessalonians 4, starting verse 16. It says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Church, I just want to encourage you with that, with those words this morning. That we are going to see Jesus. Amen? And we just got to remember, okay, why do we deny ourselves? Why do we evangelize? Why do we disciple one another? Why do we love one another? Why are we devoted to one another? It's because we're trying to help people get to heaven. That's why. It's worth it. You know, when you're in heaven, you're not going to have a moment where you're like, yeah, that day when I talked to that guy, I didn't have to. You'll be like, praise God I did, because now we're chilling with Jesus. And it's amazing. You know, that thought right there of meeting Jesus, for some of us, that's a really scary thought right now, if we're being honest. But for us as Christians, guys, we got to rejoice. We got to say, praise God. Praise God he's coming back. And praise God he wants to use us to bring as many people as possible there. Now, I just want to ask you this morning, are you living for the end game right now? What are you living for? Are you living for things that are going to pass away? Are you living for the kingdom that will last for all eternity? Just a practical thing to ask yourself, what changes is Jesus asking you to make in your life so you can better know him and help other people get ready to meet him? What changes is he calling you to make? I want to invite the worship team to come up here as we close out. If you guys could come up, this is part singers. We're going to close out with one of my favorite songs, It Is Well With My Soul. Amen. You know, as we sing this song together, I want us to really pay attention to the lyrics. Like, guys, let's sing it loudly. Let's sing it with passion. Let's sing it to our God. And remember that God wants your neighbors, your friends, your family to be able to say when Jesus comes back, it is well with my soul. Amen. He wants everyone to be able to say that. Amen. It says, and Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Amen. To God be the glory. Let's stand up and sing this together.